Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Kim Strassel is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. She's senior editorial page writer for the Wall Street Journal, one of my favorite papers in the world. In fact, the best newspaper in the world, as far as I'm concerned. She joined that editorial page at the Wall Street Journal in 1999. After working as a news reporter for Dow Jones in London and New York, she and Celeste Colgan and John Goodman are the co-authors of Leaving Women Behind, Modern Families, Outdated Laws, and she's our new friend. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here, and I just got to say this. There are some things that I do every day in my life, and there are some things that I don't get around to doing every day in my life. Reading the Wall Street Journal is in the first category.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Especially, and my favorite reading in my whole, in my world, my favorite reading is the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, well, now you're my favorite person.
No, I'm telling you, folks, if you're not reading, you know, even if you have a different political slant from what maybe you may find on that page, it's the best reading, the best writing, the best, you know, global perspectives. In my opinion, whether you agree or don't agree, at least you'll be challenged if you don't agree with it in the world. And I want to congratulate you guys on that.
Oh, thanks so much.
Leaving Women Behind. A couple of quick things that I'll bring up. Today is the anniversary, Kim, of the 15th Amendment, which gave everyone the right to vote regardless of race. But as it turns out, not really everyone, right?
No, I mean, not women, and it was quite a while yet before we had another amendment that actually did give women the right to vote, too.
About 40 years. It was about 1910 or so, I think, because I reported that on the show a few weeks ago, that it was somewhere around 1910 or something that women were allowed to vote. Black men were allowed to vote in 1870, but not any women until about 1910. Now, those are old laws. That was so long ago, Kim. You talk about outdated laws. Are there still, this is 2006, are there still laws in the books that are disadvantageous to women?
No, and that's actually sort of the theme of the book, which is that, you know, most of the laws that today govern our economic behavior,
yep.
So not voting, but things like our tax law or benefits law or the 40-hour work week, for instance, or mm-hmm. Social Security, all the things that you get up every day and affect how you go to work and how much money you have at the end of the day.
Part of our culture.
That are part of our culture and what incentivize or discourage people from going to work in the first place, they were all designed back at a time when women didn't work. Most of them were designed back in the 1930s. And back then, if you looked at the statistics, about two-thirds of all the working households out there were traditional in that they had a man who went out to work and a woman
yep.
who stayed at home with children. Today, those numbers are pretty much reversed. About two-thirds of all the households out there have both spouses in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And something like 60% of women with children under the age of 6 are out in the workforce. And yet we have an entire system that actually kind of, because it was not created to deal with women, it actually works against them.
Well, what has changed? Has anything changed? I mean, are you saying that what we have right now, the circumstances we have right now in the marketplace are disadvantageous to women? What do we do about that? What do women do about these things?
Well, let me give you a couple of examples because that kind of helps to clarify a little bit about what we're talking about here. I mean, the first one, for instance, is taxes. So, you know, say you have a woman who had been at home raising kids. She decides in the end that she wants to go back and start her career up or add some extra money to the family.
Happens in millions of households every year.
Millions of households. And if she goes back to work, the first thing that she'll find is that all of her earnings are instantly put into her husband's tax bracket. And that means that, you know, for instance, the woman who's sitting right next to her in the office, who just happens to be single, right, is going to be carrying home a lot more and earning the same money, is going to be bringing home a lot more of her check than the woman who's married, simply because her earnings have been added.
So even if we've got a woman who maybe, for whatever reason, didn't have a lot of skills before she got married, and after she had the empty nest syndrome, she literally enters the marketplace almost at an entry level, let's say just barely above minimum wage, her taxes are figured at her husband's tax rate.
Right, because your money is added together. Now, when you consider, too, most women, if they are going back to work, there's going to be certain jobs around the home that now need to be paid for because right, she's not doing them anymore. Watching children, for instance, some sort of child care or ironing or yard work or whatever it was that she was doing. If you add that in, the average middle-income woman, when she goes back to work, will only end up keeping about 30 cents of every dollar she makes.
Mm-hmm.
35 cents, maybe. So, you know, it's a huge disincentive. There are other things that maybe are even more, will resonate even more with people listening to this show.
As we go through some of your examples, I would like to tack on to each one of these your idea for how to solve that.
Sure. I mean, the tax situation.
Because you're not going to bring us a problem without a solution, are you, Kim?
That's right. Please try not to. The tax situation, I mean, there are obviously lots of ideas out there that would solve this. At the biggest level, things like the flat tax, mm-hmm, or a national sales tax that people have been discussing would right, be a way of getting around this. But at the most kind of minor level, if you really wanted to do something, you could have a clear and simple separate filing for couples. Allow them to file separate tax returns. There was a time when we did that.
Well, couples actually can do that. They actually can file separately.
Yeah, but it doesn't exactly work that way. I mean, you can be married.
It doesn't help them on the brackets, does it?
Not really, no. You can be married and filed separately, but it isn't the same as filing completely separate tax
right,
refunds. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, those are some solutions on the tax front.
All right. What are some other questions? I love your example here. There's a table here of 10 items. The 10 assumptions about America, and you mentioned some of them. And, you know, one of the assumptions is couples will not get divorced. Couples will not live past 65. This is not only about women. The tax laws, Kim, and I think you probably agree with me, are not only about women. The tax laws are not structured for small businesses either.
No, not at all.
And I'm going to come right back around to women because, as you know, women in business have a bullet right now. They're not only, you know, moving up the charts, they've got a bullet. More and more small businesses are women-owned businesses. And so when I come back, I'm going to ask Kim, are women get hit? Are they getting a double whammy, double jeopardy because of that? 20 after, we'll be right back with Kim Stressel. She's the co-author of Leaving Women Behind. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget all the other things you can do on my site, including checking out our blog. Don't forget it's a multimedia blog. It's not like anybody else's blog, and I'm sure you wouldn't expect anything less from me. And all of our other resources, hundreds, actually thousands, of archives of past interviews that we've conducted and thousands of articles that either I've written or our Brain Trust members have written in, or speaking of the Brain Trust, you can find them there as well. Our newest member of our Brain Trust is Kimberly Stressel. Kim Stressel, Celeste Colgan, and John Goodman are the co-authors of Leaving Women Behind, Modern Families, Outdated Laws. The marketplace, not only our culture, but our marketplace have moved right through and blown right by the laws that were many of which were established in the 20th century. You guys are concerned in your book with how they're treating women. I'm concerned as a small business advocate for how it treats small business owners. And in almost 50% of the cases, they're one and the same. They're women and small business owners.
That's absolutely right. I mean, and I think the important thing here to remember is that this book isn't just about, you know, women. It's about any person who happens to find themselves as sort of second earner in the house, or, you know, and often those are men, too.
Well, these are family issues.
Because
you've got a family with a man and a wife in the family, it affects him too.
But you are perfectly right too about small businesses. Women not only own small businesses, but women tend to gravitate towards small businesses when they go to find a place to work. Often because they're going in and out of the workforce, maybe to have children, or maybe they're going in and out of the workforce. Women, for instance, tend to be the people that look after elderly relatives when they're ill or anything. They take a lot of breaks from work, and often when they come back, the most kind of hospitable places for them to go back and work are small businesses. Now this leads to a bunch of different problems because of laws, and that gets into overtime and benefits laws.
Right, exactly. Well, talk to us about some of those things. Give us some examples of some things that you feel are the most egregious and what we can do about them.
Well, I think the overtime and the kind of flexibility at job and benefits, to me, is the one that really hits home with most women, because they're
the ones
women
that are not getting paid for overtime?
Yeah, this is actually, it's quite the opposite. What it is back in the 1930s, we set up a law, the Fair Labor Standards Act, it was actually meant to protect workers against, you know, businesses that made them work all hours of the day. And it set up the 40-hour work week. But the 40-hour work week has sort of become abusive in its own right to workers, because what it basically means is that even those employees who would like to, for instance, let you work fewer hours one week and then work more hours the next week, because that's what would be best
flexible
for your schedule.
Time.
They can't do it. You can't have flex time. You were actually required to pay a worker time and a half rather than give them flexible time. That's, for instance, one big problem with it. The other big problem has to do with benefits law, in that most employers, it doesn't make any economic sense for them to provide benefits if you're a part-time worker. Lots of women are part-time workers. And the part-time worker bar is anyone who doesn't work this mystic kind of 40 hours that are out there. Especially, you know, we have this, as you know, and I'm sure you talk about, big corporations tend to benefit a lot from tax breaks that are given to them by the government provide benefits.
That's the
small
part.
Small businesses don't tend to get those benefits.
We not only don't tend to, we don't get them. And that's the reason why one of the biggest things, one of the most important things right now for small businesses and for the women that you talk about in your book and the families, Kim, are small business health plans. We used to call them association health plans.
Right.
That's one of the most important things that would be a silver bullet to fix a lot of the things you talk about.
No, and that is some of the stuff that we talk about in the book, too. You know, we have this very unequal system at the moment, and it wasn't designed that way to be unfair. It just sort of turned out that way, and that, you know, that we now have a system whereby so many people that work for large companies get their benefits from those companies.
The face of the American marketplace anymore, is it, Kim?
No.
That's not the profile of the American marketplace. And no, I agree with you. Nobody, it's not like somebody woke up in 1940 and said, let's mess with the folks in the 21st century. It's just that they developed things, those laws, and those laws have become dusty and outdated, and we've got to turn these things upside down and make some changes.
Right, and it causes a lot of problems, especially, as you said, for the small businesses, because we have a system at the moment that is, you know, I mean, there's a small group of Americans that are kind of taken care of, and then anyone else who works for a different, like, smaller business, and that does tend to be a lot of women, are struggling to get sort of their benefits. And moreover, think about the havoc this causes in the business system, in that, there are people who, for instance, hate their jobs but don't leave them because of the benefits.
That's exactly right.
There's an opportunity that they have to might do a better job, but they don't take that job because you have to leave your benefits.
You know, Kim, if they would turn over a certain number of these issues to you and me in about 90 days, we could solve a lot of the world's ills, couldn't we?
That's right.
No but question what is about it. Kim, we're coming up the end of our visit, but this won't be our last visit if you'll agree to come back.
Oh, sure.
We got a lot more to talk about.
Great.
Tell us where the book's available, please.
You can go on to Amazon, obviously, or anywhere. And if you just want to read more about the book, you can go to the Manhattan Institute's website.
ManhattanInstitute.com. They're friends of ours as well. And the book is called Leaving Women Behind, Modern Families, Outdated Laws. Kim Strassel is one of the co-authors. And you're going to come back again, aren't you, Kim?
That's right.
Thank you very much. Good job today, by the way.
Thank you.
Quick break, right back with Alan Friedman. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administat.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.